Welcome to the Payments Journal Podcast. And here is your host, Ryan Mack.
Welcome to the Payments Journal Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Mack. Now, with the economy beginning to open back up and consumers dictating the new normal, all industries are going to be affected, and travel is absolutely one of those industries that are going to go through a large evolution. So on this episode, we're going to focus on the payment side of the travel industry, and in particular, two sides of the equation. First, the changing consumer behaviors of how consumers want to pay and the travel industry's acceptance of those payments. And second, the need for organizations to enhance their travel protections claim process. So to unpack all of this, I'm joined by Dean Sively, who is the president of Berkshire Hathaway's Travel Protection, and Peter Mullins, the vice president of marketing at Spreely. So there's certainly a lot of insight to unpack on today's episode, so without any further delays, let's start the show.
So Dean and Peter, and it's an absolute pleasure to have you on today's episode, because we're really going to be diving into what I think is a very interesting topic, given what's going on in just kind of the global economy, so to speak, right now. And that's really kind of looking at the travel space. Now, Dean, I want to start with you here. And let's do a little bit of an introduction, if we could, Dean, of yourself and then also your organization. And then perhaps maybe you could also tie in what gaps you are filling in the travel space and what sets your organization apart from the rest of the industry.
Great, thanks, Ryan. Well, Berkshire Hathaway is one of the leading travel providers, travel insurance providers in the travel space. We certainly were not the first. We came in somewhere about 8 years or so ago. And really the gap that we were trying to fill was we felt, I'll categorize it broadly as trust. Okay, trust, one of financial strength, and certainly with everything we've been through with the pandemic, people would know that. You gotta have the ability to cover and pay claims. And then secondarily, I would say, and this goes to the claims part, the part about fairness. People had a perception maybe that insurance companies were trying to find reasons not to pay. And so we wanted to change that. And one of the ways to do that is that we felt there was a gap in terms of payment process, the trust around wanting to pay, ability to pay, but equally the just the speed at which that can happen rather than saying, oh, checks in the mail. And so that was one of the things that we were first with in terms of engineering, was taking a look at claims overall and saying, look, the majority of claims for things like trip delays or flight cancellations and things revolve around payments that fall within a fairly narrow gap. And so when you look at that and you could find ways to authenticate that, in fact, an event actually happened, then you could do a thing called auto-adjudicate. And so we were the first to pioneer that process where we're saying, hey, if we can get information from the airline reporting corporation that talks about flight delays and such, as long as we capture somebody's flight information, we can monitor all that and we can decide, hey, they're due a payment. This flight was 2 hours delayed. And then through our payment provider, as you know, we are able to make sure that the amounts get deposited in people's accounts, either through, and that goes to part of the flexibility with deciding how they get paid. So we were the first to kind of pioneer the auto adjudication, auto initiate, and then actually auto pay into an account and letting people decide how they want to get paid.
Yeah, I certainly think like that's really interesting, because I mean, when you kind of look at it from a consumer standpoint, I mean, that's really kind of best case scenario here of it, because, you know, it's like, hey, me as the consumer, I'm looking to travel. I've still got a little bit of kind of worrying of just in terms of like, okay, is the flight going to get canceled or anything that's going on in just relating to the pandemic. But it's like, okay, I spent the last year or so in my home. I need to get out of my house. I need to go ahead and travel for that. But I know obviously from a consumer side, there's a little bit of hesitancy, but having kind of that reassurance that, hey, yes, okay, go ahead and place your order for the travel arrangements that you want to make here. But we will have a way that if you need to make a claim, that there's kind of, as you pointed out there, that auto adjudicate process, which I think is a really interesting process, because if you kind of take a look at just the payments industry itself and you kind of say like, okay, well, data is the new, you know, insert, you know, whatever precious metal or whatever it is that you want to call it in here, essentially it's very valuable. But you look across it and you kind of say, okay, a lot of the institutions work in kind of data in silos. And this is really kind of saying, well, if we, as you know, you're being kind of the insurance provider, is able to get access to that data and then say, oh, kind of a rules-based engine, if this happens, then pay out this and in this manner. Right. That's there. It really is just, it's a smarter system. It's more efficient. It's me as the consumer, as you said, kind of has that initial trust. It's not the, hey, checks in the mail. Well, I spent my money like 3 weeks ago. I kind of want my money back now. So either A, I can go ahead and book a new travel or whatever the case may be, or use those funds for, you know, whatever it is that I need for that. So I certainly think that that aspect is certainly very interesting. But now, Dean, you know, when we think about payments, what are some of really the unique opportunities that the industry has as the world really kind of begins to travel again?
Well, I think one of the things we all have to recognize, and certainly you've seen announcements probably this week talking about some of the airlines, American, I guess, publicly have said they're cutting back on some of their flights because they're having trouble getting enough labor in to run the flights, you know, optimally. There is going to be a lot of disruption in terms of travel. And so, you know, I think one, we tell people they should make sure they pack their patients. But secondarily, what I'd say is, we have a product called AirCare that I mentioned, kind of this idea of fixed benefits, but where we determine a payment amount upfront based on industry averages. And we just agree that if you have a lost bag, or you have a bag delayed, or your flight's delayed, that we can fix an amount, which is based on average. And then you don't need to have receipts and do all this extra work, or in the case of, you know, flight delay, even submit a claim. It just happens in the background. And as you say, then that inconvenience can be compensated if you have your payments process set up right in your profile, that you can actually get the money while you're there at the airport. So, you know, we certainly have people who've written us and thanked us for, you know, they're sitting at the airport, they're 2 hours delayed, they get notified, ding, they get a payment into their account. Guess what? They can go and either get, you know, some refreshments, or they can, you know, buy a gift for their family who's at home or something and show up. It just changes the whole mentality of the trip, I think, when you feel like somebody's there with you and you get that experience of having, you know, some sort of, I'll call it compensation for the inconvenience, you know, happen automatically. That just kind of reinforces the idea that somebody's looking out for me through this insurance concept. And that was one of the things that we really wanted to bring to market.
Yeah, I certainly like that, because to me, really what it says as a consumer, it's a proactive approach instead of a reactive approach. It is a, hey, we already recognize that this has happened through the data that we're able to process, so let's instantly get it to you. And it really kind of turns a bit of that negative experience that an individual might have with their travel arrangements and plans to a bit more of a positive one, when you instantly are able to get that notification of, oh, hey, we recognize this happened. We already went ahead and did this for you, as opposed to like, well, okay, go on the site, fill out this additional form, we'll send you a check, you'll get it 2 weeks later. Now, Peter, I want to make sure I get you involved in this conversation as well here too, because I think that your organization also has some really interesting insight regarding around kind of the payments industry, with your organization being Spreedly here. So I kind of want to ask the same question to you then, Peter, that I asked Dean here.
Yeah, thanks, Ryan. And I want to actually build on what Dean was saying, because to me, I think one of the things that's most exciting when we talk to our customers in the travel space is just how important that customer experience is. You know, Dean was talking about how, you know, for insurance payouts, how critical the experience is, the customer experience. And when you're traveling, you know, you're out there on a plane, you're out there away from home. And so the having a great experience, of course, matters. Now, when you think about the customer experience, one of the most important things in there is the payments experience. You know, you're going through, you're shopping, you're trying to select a flight, maybe you're trying to select a hotel, and then you get down to that final moment where you're going ahead and trying to make a payment to pay for your travel arrangements. And that's a big moment. And if that's not a good experience, maybe from a decline, maybe they don't accept the Google Pay, Apple Pay that you're looking to use. Perhaps you're in another country and you're looking to do an international payment and you get declined. You don't want that kind of experience for your customers. You want to make sure that they're able to transact with you successfully. And you want to be able to optimize those transactions so you're getting the best return, avoiding false declines, et cetera. And so what we see is that increasingly more and more travel companies, travel platforms, et cetera, are relying on an orchestrated approach to their payments, which means bringing in the best payment services for a given transaction in order to ensure that it transacts successfully. And everyone knows that, you know, when you can get that successful transaction, it's not only a great experience for the customer, but for the merchant or the platform themselves, it's also a great experience because they get that money. And then they're also able to, you know, have a longer term, highly valuable relationship with their customer going forward.
Yeah, no, Pete, I think you kind of hit an interesting term there in terms of payments orchestration, because I think, you know, when I'm taking a look at just the travel space itself, and then also the travel space as it relates to payments, Dean, I kind of want to ask you this question here, because I really want to get your unique perspective on this. So really, with the number of customers that you support, as well as the amount of integrations that's really required, and again, I kind of almost look at it as somewhat as an N squared problem type of here. How does your team address the complexity with payments orchestration?
Yeah, actually, it's good to actually kind of build upon where Peter was just at. And that is, people like the flexibility of, they may want to pay one way, they may want to get reimbursed another way. And you know, there are so many different ways to either pay for a trip or to be reimbursed that keep coming up, whether that be, you know, some of the more immediate payment mechanisms that have come out recently versus historical credit cards or wire transfers and things like that.
You know, I absolutely agree with that point there. It's kind of like, again, like, hey, partner with the people that specialize in those things. So it's you specialize in your certain area, payments professionals, you know, are specialized in their particular area. But Peter, this kind of brings up an interesting thought then in my mind, with obviously being a player in the payments ecosystem. What does that mean from your organization's standpoint as you kind of look at it? And I don't want to necessarily say that the brand kind of disappears into the background, but kind of playing that supporting role within the industry, particularly as it relates to this conversation today.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, our mission is to help give that choice to merchants and platforms, helping them to connect to the best possible services that are out there. You know, building essentially an orchestration system that allows them to access whatever they need in order to deliver that great payments experience. So if that's a gateway that covers Latin America, let's say, or a specialized fraud tool, you know, I think that's really key for us, is being that partner that allows you to connect to whichever service or we provide the service. It depends on the situation. And so being able to then have that seamless, perfect payments experience that our merchants and platform customers want, and their customers demand. So we're very happy to play that role of being that broker and helping you to both enable payments, but then also to optimize them over time and, you know, increase the success rates that you get on each transaction.
Yeah, I like that, because in my mind, really what it kind of breaks down to is particularly kind of what I just see from a lot of fintech players and things like that, is really just the emphasis on the providing the value. Mm-hmm. There. It's that is the primary focus of it, because, you know, especially where you think about just kind of, you know, the economy in general, and kind of in terms of just like, oh, okay, like, hey, how much is put into branding and kind of the brand side of things. And I find that a lot of fintechs are like, yes, absolutely, we have our brand, it's first and foremost to it, but the paramount part of it is providing value to the partners and players that they partner with, or that they, you know, the products and services that they offer. So I certainly find that aspect is certainly very fantastic.
Just to build on that, and one thing that you know, while of course we want to deliver that great experience, at the same time there is an advantage in having, you know, that first mover in the payments orchestration space advantage, and having that brand awareness, is because then it means, you know, more partners want to work with us, and that builds a more robust ecosystem that more and more merchants and platforms want to connect to. So really a virtuous cycle in there.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. So let me stay with you here, Peter, for this next question then. So really, what are other organizations in the travel space doing that is unique really to payments?
Yeah, that's a great question. I guess one way to think about it might be just to... Well, we could just take like a imaginary trip, I guess. So imagine that you're looking to book a golf vacation, let's say. So you might start with, you know, going to one of our customers, which is Jet Abroad or Hopper or True Trip, and booking your travel. And then you go to Berkshire Hathaway and book your travel insurance. Then, you know, you want to get a hotel, and you go to Lodgify or MyVR, and then you book your golfing with Supreme Golf, and finally you take a cab on Cabify to get to the golf course. You know, there's just so many services that you're interacting with when you're looking to travel, and you want to have those great payments experiences, whether you're transacting in the US or in Europe or in Latin America or wherever. And so by being able to enable these platforms to orchestrate their payments, they're able to ensure that, first off, they can accept those payments. I mean, that shouldn't be taken for granted. And they can accept them in multiple geographies, wherever they're launching new products, wherever they're launching in new markets. And then you're able to take on the challenge of those poor authorization rates and get those bumped up. Because, you know, we've seen people move from, you know, 70% up to 80%, 90% for authorization rates. And so you can imagine, like, even though that's on the high side, any kind of bump of 1%, 2% to your payments revenue not only impacts short-term, but just the long-term value. So, you know, at the end of the day, that idea of being able to orchestrate across multiple services so you can deliver that best experience to your customers is just a winning one that we see in the travel industry.
Yeah, I absolutely agree there. You know, I certainly find it very fascinating that when we're talking about payments orchestration and you really do look at kind of the acceptance rate side of things, which I think is something that merchants in particular, they pay attention to, because at the end of the day, they're like, hey, yes, we want the sale to go through and we want it to be accepted. And really that's what they're looking for. And I find it very interesting that really the solution for that really was the payments orchestration aspect of it. And it wasn't really until kind of I started to dive deep into, okay, payments orchestration and how it all facilitates, of just kind of understanding the complexity and the nuances to it, and how really just interesting, in my point of view, it really is on that end of things. So certainly agree with you there. But now for this last question, before we wrap things up, Dean, I really want to get at the heart of what this conversation is really talking about here today. So with that being said, how does your payment process improve the customer experience for your customers?
Well, one of the things what Peter was just talking about, and I guess I would say for the audience, maybe it's inherent, but you know, it's not just authorization, it's valid authorizations, of course, and getting those percentages up. Because the bad customer experience is, of course, when somebody really is capable, should be enabled in order to pay the way they want to, is having to make sure that transaction goes through. So there is that aspect to it. And then secondarily for us, it's with a payment provider, like Spreedly, we've been able to, as I say, focus our efforts on the capabilities that get it to the point of either, you know, accepting payments or, in a case of claims, you know, paying them out. And largely for us, customer experience has been about those times, those critical points in time when people are traveling and unfortunately something goes wrong. And that is the ability to, you know, to pay claims. And it's nice that we can do that in a fashion of however makes it friendliest for them. And there are still going to be the claims that are very complex, you know, the medical claims and things like that. But just having that when they go back and they go through that process, we make it as intuitive as possible. But then when it comes time for payment, it's nice, even if you're doing that when you're back for 3 weeks, that you can get that payment so quickly and in a way that they want. And that's one of the things that, you know, Spreedly does for us, is make it so that we can focus on the enablement of that process and not the actual payment itself.
Excellent. Well, I think we'll wrap things up there. So Dean, thank you so much for taking the time today for speaking to me about the travel space, payments and payments orchestration. And I hope to have you both back on the podcast real soon.
Great. Thank you, Ryan.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thanks, Peter.
Thank you.